know that it's a bunch of nothing.
Exactly. That's just, sheesh, that's a cold. You need a sweater, Ross. You're going to get a chill. All right. Thank you for joining us, Ross. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call our meeting to order. Commissioner Kirkpatrick should be here soon, hopefully. Commissioner Gibson's here, so thank you so much. Thank you first, everybody, for joining us this afternoon, July 27th, for our Clark County OHV Advisory Committee meeting. Also, our guests and visitors, we really appreciate you taking the time. We know that everybody's schedules are so busy that it's tough to kind of fit these kind of things in, so we really do appreciate you being here. Amelia, if we could have you do the roll call, please.
Yep, so we have Debbie Burgos, our chair, Mike Fry, vice chair, Steve Paxton, Penny Thatcher, Ken Freeman, and Ross Williams joining by phone. And I'm Amelia Smith with Clark County.
Thank you. We also have in attendance Commissioner Gibson.
District Attorney's Office.
Oh, yes.
Yep, I'm here from the District Attorney's Office.
And your name?
TJ Allen.
Thank you, TJ. Appreciate that. We also have the Desert Wranglers Jeep Club here, as well as Vegas Valley Four Wheelers Club. So thank you very much. The first part of our meeting, we have a public comment section that is anyone who's in attendance can speak, can stand up and speak and let us know what's your name, address, and then you get 3 minutes to talk. So if anybody would welcome to stand up and introduce yourselves. If you want.
Take on me. I've been here a few minutes.
Steve Zapparoli, Desert Wranglers, News Nevada. Address, Torrey Pines and Lake Mead. I really don't want to throw the number out there. I handle or take care of the education and training for our club. We were established in 2011, recently broke off from our sponsor, Chapman. We are now a 100% non-for-profit, and so we're dedicating our time for training and educating new Jeepers on how to care for the land, and of course educating with BLM issues as well, and of course helping to clean the terrain. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kevin, anything? Nothing new to add? All right, thank you so much. I don't think there's anyone else here from the public, so we appreciate, again, we appreciate you coming. Right now, I'd also ask to approve the minutes for our March 30th, 2022 meeting. Everybody's had a chance, hopefully, to review them. If I could get a motion to
approve.
Steve Paxton makes a motion to approve. Kenny Thatcher seconds it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Approved. Next, we'd like to go on to the approval of the agenda for today's meeting, July 27th. And either hold, combine, or delete any items, or move for possible action. Can I get a motion?
Make a motion. To approve items for discussion.
Can I get a second? That's Kenny Thatcher made the motion to approve. Steve Paxton, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion is approved. Thank you. Next, item number five, informational items. These are for discussion only for our committee. Number one, identify emerging issues to be addressed by the committee during future meetings. Does anybody have anything?
I don't know if they're emerging, but I was, on the last meeting, I was talking about mitigation credits that are awarded to the county for conservation and stuff, and right now it's a two-for-one system. I'm having a hard time. I don't know if Amelia can talk. I called Marcy's office because that's where I got the information from originally. I have not heard back from them yet. But what it is right now is for every acre that's either sold off or put into disposal, two acres has to be set aside for conservation. And we feel that that should be an even split across the board for outdoor OHV use and be included in that as well. So it should be a 1-1-1. Instead of a 2-for-1. But I'm just having a hard time finding any more information on it that I can hear about. So supposedly what it is they get tax credits or dollars from the feds for every acre of conservation that they have. So, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, so we could possibly add that as a task,
yeah.
A future task item, or issue item. Thanks, Kenny. Anyone else? All right, we will go on to number two. Announcements of general information that may be of interest to committee members or the general public. I had typed up a short list, or actually a long list, of different events in the next few months and placed a copy at the table, so feel free to grab it if you like. But we do have Moran, which is a desert race organization, has a night race coming up actually this weekend in Ely, Nevada. Another night race by the Wild Bunch Motorcycle Club in Laughlin, Nevada on August 20th. They're going to the regular series. The Trailblazers Club is putting on a Moran race September 10th in Panaca. And then the Bushwhackers Motorcycle Club is putting on a Moran race on September 24th in Pioche, Nevada. You can also reach out to them at www.racemoran.com for any information. Best in the Desert is having their Method Wheels Casey Folks Vegas Torino off-road race August 10th through the 13th. It starts in Beatty, Nevada, or just outside Beatty, Nevada, and ends in Dayton, Nevada. You can get all information there on that event and other events they have at www.bitd.com. I know they are looking for volunteers for their Vegas Torino race. So if you're not racing and it's something you just want to check out a race and have the best seat in the house, I encourage anyone to get involved and volunteer for any race organization in Southern Nevada. And it's a rewarding experience. It gets you, like I said, a front row seat, and it helps out organization and the racers. Southern Nevada Off-Road Enthusiast SNOR, their Ridgecrest 300 is presented by Sierra Auto Recycling, is September 30th through October 1st in Ridgecrest, California. Yep. And then they also have their McKenzie Rage at the River at the end of the year, December 9th through 11th in Laughlin, Nevada. Their website is snorracing.net, and you can contact for any information through that website. The Legacy Racing Organization has a new, brand new event called the UTV Freedom Ride. It's September 9th through the 10th in Caliente, Nevada. It's going to be 2 days of a UTV ride, 365 miles. They'll be offering breakfasts and lunch, and it's just a fun event, so I encourage people to participate in that or volunteer. Their next race is the Dirt Regulation in Cedar City, Utah, on October 7th through the 9th. And then their last race of the season, or this year, is the VT Construction Battleground, December 1st through 4th in Jean, Nevada. Their website is legacyracing.net. Vegas Valley Four Wheelers is having their annual Hump a Bump event, which is October 27th through the 30th in Logandale, Nevada. I've attended. It's a wonderful time, so I encourage people to go out and check it out. Their website is vv4w.org. I also added a couple other websites on the list. On this, ohv.nv.org is a great resource for trails, new laws, or any pending thing related to our OHV community, so I would encourage people to check it out. They also have a designated special area on their website. It's ohv.nv.gov/trails-clark-county-south, which is strictly related to the trails available in Clark County. So it's something really, I hadn't seen that before broken out like that, so I think that's a really great resource. So please share with everybody, because education is really important. We need to let our community know where they legally can ride so we can keep our trails open. So it's important that we have these kind of resources available. The last one, blm.gov/programs/recreation/OHV. There's a brand new BLM Top Motorized Recreational Opportunities map on there. It's a new link. I didn't even have a chance to use it today, but it takes you directly to trail areas in our area, in Southern Nevada area, as well as across the state and other counties. So I encourage people to go to that, check it out, and let us know how you think about that resource. There's lots more resources available, but those are some that we just highlighted. So again, there's a handout here if anybody would just like feel free to take one. Any other events coming up for different organizations? Kevin?
National Public Lands Day is September 24th.
Oh, yes.
So please make sure that gets shared around.
All right.
Hoping Commissioner Patrick can make it, because currently she has the fairgrounds booked for that weekend. Because I want to book it, and she's got it booked.
Well,
so
hopefully it's...
From that. And Tread Lightly, which is the national organization, is doing a November 5th cleanup here in Southern Nevada, and it'll be co-sponsored with Vegas Valley Four Wheelers.
Do you have an area yet?
We're probably going to do Logandale or Apex.
Oh.
We haven't decided which one, because November 5th is right after Apex and SEMA. So for those of you that are going to be involved in that, it's a good time that we can grab the people who've been involved that'll be down for the Apex and SEMA event. And then the Nevada Off-Road Association Summit, I know you've got the flyer over there, is October 12th to the 14th in Minden, Nevada.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you brought that up. And maybe I can gear you on that cleanup to do November 4th at Apex, but that's later on our agenda. Thank you very much. Anything else? Anybody?
Debbie, when you do your cleanup out there, be careful because I just got an inch of rain in like 30 minutes out there.
That's all right. We're all good. November 5th. We got lots of time. You know it's not going to rain anymore. We got our one day allotment, unfortunately, during this drought.
The one road but, that we used to access to the main pier, it has a freaking 4-foot trench going through it right now.
Oh, we got it handled. We'll make it happen. Thank you, though, Kenny, for bringing that up. Yeah. All right, next. Committee discussed the use of videos which promote safety and responsible age views. I added this to
the... Could I just maybe make one comment?
Yes.
Because I can't see anywhere else where I could do this, except maybe public comment. But you all have been watching, in one degree or another, the movement of the public lands bill. You probably saw last week or this week that... we requested that the item be removed from the markup committee meeting that was held Tuesday. And there's been a lot of action as a result of that. Let me just say that before I go any further, the acreage that was set aside as a result of the negotiations that you were all a part of when it comes to OHV use, that number of acres did not yet change. I mean, it's still in the bill. There's integrity to what we had negotiated. There have been a number of changes to the bill as it presently sits, and we haven't seen a map so that we can get a sense of what some of the other things would have been or are as proposed in the markup and the amendments to the bill. We now have a much better sense of what the bill is today. We're going to discuss it as a county commission in a closed session because it has nothing to do with the things that concern us here really, but there are some aspects of the bill that has changed or modified up to this point that would be of concern to us. We're going to discuss that in a closed session with the county commission on Tuesday after our meeting so that we get a sense of where we ought to go. What is the sense in relation to the legal issues that are created? Those are the only things that we can really talk about in a closed session, and then we'll act on it. We had a conference call with me and Marilyn and Justin this morning at 7:30 with the senator who is sponsoring the bill. And I've advised her that we're going to go to a closed session on Tuesday. So there won't be any movement on this bill at all until after we've had a chance to discuss it as a board. And then we'll determine where we go from there. As I say, it's things that are away from OHV use and interests, except there probably are things that are impactful. Not so much in terms of the acreage, but that you'll care about. And there's really not a lot more to report right now. But if you read that we pulled it off out of the markup session, it's true. We did pull it off the agenda for that committee. There is another meeting in September that we could get it onto if it makes sense to do that. But the other things that are at issue here are big enough that we really got to take a step back and make sure we know what we're doing, and that we agree with the direction that the bill has gone since it got submitted. And we'll report all that to you and to the whole rest of the world after we've had a chance to read the language, talk about it as a board to the extent we can. And you know that when you have a public body, there are limits to what you can really talk about outside the presence of the public. We're not interested in doing anything that violates that rule. But there are some issues that do need to be discussed in that way. So we'll be getting back to you and everybody, but you're in particular you, because this committee was formed kind of out of all of that discussion. And we want you to be aware of, you know, what is happening and where it's going. We were relieved to see that they're not messing with the negotiations you all were a part of, and we'll see kind of where it goes after Tuesday. So now you know kind of what I know.
So grab a question. So that's interesting. I kind of thought, like, it seems like a positive thing that you're able to pull it. I thought once it left that they were going to do it without your input. So you're able to
The bill won't go forward or anything without input from us.
That's cool.
And you know, the detail is something that'll probably, it's not on our agenda here. We can't talk about the detail. It's more a matter of the bill isn't done yet. We still have some options, and we'll determine what makes sense after we meet together and arrive at some conclusions. The bill isn't going to go forward. It's our bill. So we concluded that we need an opportunity to look at maps. We need an opportunity to review language in more detail. And so we're going to talk about it Tuesday, and then we'll have a better view of where we go. And at that point, I don't know what the conversation will be, but I know that the bill isn't going to just happen without us being a part of it. And the senator made the, she understood. We're asking her to pull it from that agenda. It got pulled. It's not over. So we're continuing to work on it. I wish I could tell you more, but it wouldn't be right to tell you more because a lot of it would be conjecture. So that's just more a matter of the status of things. So if you saw that, don't worry. The things that we saw don't affect the acreage that affects you, and that's, you need to know that right now.
Are you still in
there? Yeah.
This is like a positive thing, though, that you were able to have that control over that. I didn't think so. You know, we thought they were going to just do whatever they wanted without
you. You know, that's another way to look at it. So maybe this wasn't it.
Well, and I have a question. Just, it is on our tracking list as a high priority item still.
Yeah.
So we can discuss it a little. I mean,
with the appropriate time. Well, meeting. That's all.
Not
the
what
discussion
you're.
Really I think we can have, but you know, I just wanted you to know that whatever you may have read, don't worry yet. And I don't see any reason to worry because everything that mattered that was in it, as Marilyn says, is still in it. In terms of the negotiation we have. But there's nothing final yet.
For you guys, I think there's only one piece that maybe impacts you, and that's the Nelson landing piece. That was taken out altogether, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. There was, yes.
But every, like Logandale Trail sales at Stephen, 16,000 acres at Laughlin State, and I'm trying to remember all of them. There's quite a few. There's like 170,000 acres for you guys.
Wow.
121,000. Yeah. Yeah, that question.
Which, it's on our tracking list, so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
When we go through our tracking list, too.
There's only one section
as
they were
our concern. So thank you very much for the update, though.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Again, committee to discuss the use of videos which promote safety and responsible HV use. I asked to talk about that because I think it's actually an ad. Now that I think about it, I think we added it to our tracking list, but I could be wrong. But I've met with Matt Martelli today, as well as Tread Lightly. They are on a whole campaign to release safety videos. They're creating safety videos, informational videos. Very high quality ones. I think Kitty shared some on his social media. I've been sharing them. There's more, a lot more to come. And they're really, what their goal is to try is to get the attention, because we know social media is the platform these days. That's what people are paying attention to, especially our new users. And that's really who we really need to educate the most, because through the pandemic, it created a whole new user group. You know, everybody's getting outdoors. But unfortunately, people don't know the rules of the road, or they don't care, or they don't take the time to learn it. So I think it's part of our responsibility to help educate. So they are happy to share with us whatever information, whatever videos they have. We can even put our name on it. I don't know if it's legally to do, to put the Clark County OHV Advisory Committee on the name of these videos, or just something else. But they have given us full permission to put the videos under our name. And they're going to be creating, like I said, creating a lot more. They're going to be using well-known influencers in the social media world, especially off-roaders, to hopefully, again, garner the attention as well as reach those audiences. Some of these, you know, influencers have 1 million, 2 million followers. So, and they're primarily interested in the off-road world or recreational OHV world. So I think that's a plus, and it's also a plus because they have dollars and we don't.
Can I ask legal, I'm getting ready to put that resolution to formalize it on the agenda in August. Should I add in the ability for educational materials, you know, that are approved through Clark County and the advisory committee, so then we could put our logo on it? I think we should.
Yeah, I don't see a harm in that. I would have to look at the original enabling documents, because I believe that there's something about educating the public, and that just might be subsumed in that. But I guess to be more specific would never hurt.
Well, it's an opportunity, because you guys are on me about making it official on the cleanup, so we're doing that in August.
Yeah, we might as well just add it on, I guess.
Okay. Amelia, will you work with them?
And that's one of the things some of the rec planners from the BLM have talked about, is education and stuff. The Cameron up at the was it Ely District of the County Annual? That was one of their biggest problems. They got a lot of new people coming around that don't know where to go or how to act. So, and I know I've talked to Jimmy and Ken about it here at Southern Nevada office about educating the public.
Yeah, Sandy Valley reached out to me through Amelia and another rural community where they're having a lot of problem with, and I think I said this at the last meeting, with the younger citizens of their community. Racing through the neighborhoods, racing through the town, not really, you know, following the rules of the road. They recently had Bryce Menzies out before the school year ended, and did an assembly with him talking about, you know, being respectful and how you should really be safe. Hopefully, because, you know, he's a Red Bull athlete, he's popular, hopefully they could, you know, he could persuade them to. So they said they had a pretty good turnout. They hope to do a lot more, and they're going to include us in those types of events going forward. So it's another way for us to get out to the community.
Debbie, on that note, too, there's a bunch of UTV groups and OHV groups that are coming out of California. They're traveling through California off-road, completely off-road, and coming into those areas that don't have a clue. Like, you had 150 side-by-sides out at freaking Pioneer Saloon a couple months ago, and nobody even knew they were coming. They were all from a California club.
So maybe reach out to our neighboring states and try to educate them as well. I know, Mel, you were able to post those two videos I sent you. Thank you very much. I think one was Rick Johnson on the importance of wearing a helmet, and the other one was cleaning up trash, which I still want to reach out to our shooting community, especially the organizations and the stores, because if you've been at any of the cleanups, whether the stores cleanup, you know, or the Men 400 cleanup the last 8 years or however many years, majority of the trash is shooter's trash, which, you know, you just pack it in, pack it out. I don't understand the problem, but it is a problem. So hopefully we can encourage them. I think, I don't know if we have added this as a tracking item. I'm trying to see if we did or not.
We can also post something at the shooting bar. We're actually going to do a shooting awareness kind of day and include that, maybe.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So we can.
Yeah.
It's getting really bad out of Gene. People riding their side-by-side and you're worried about a bullet coming across.
Yeah.
So, but my question is the money for stuff like that, like the grant that should come from, you know, the OHV, or the state OHV?
We'd have to apply. Yeah, we'd have to apply for it, which they just ended their cycle.
So I don't know if you guys were probably paying for your own thing, but it should seem like we should have money from them or include them in doing some kind of an ad campaign, right? They've got the money.
They do. We just have to apply for it. That's their process. But we also can go through Tread Lightly. There's a 50 by 50 org event they're doing. They're trying to get 50 states to have cleanups or some type of education program or day across the country. And they have a grant application, which I actually printed it out at home. So I'm going to see, you know, how difficult that is to fill that out. It's minimal amount. It's like $500 for certain things. Or, you know, it's not big, but it could help with the budget. But, again, Tread Lightly and UTV Impact, and there's three other companies that are involved in partnering with them, as well as Orba, are willing to front money, and we can utilize. They're willing to take our input of what we think should be done, or, you know, what kind of videos they need, what kind of audience, if we give them the input, they'll do the video, they'll pay for the video. I think that's really a win-win. And they do, I mean, those two videos, I don't know if you saw them, they do excellent work. It's very professionally done, and they are very exciting. They're entertaining to watch. So, and they're short. They get that you can only have attention 60 seconds of somebody's attention before they swipe to the next one. And so that's really what we need. We want to catch people's attention and then do other events, like Marilyn said, the shooting park, that sort of thing.
So I have a question, too, and this is going back a couple of years, but isn't there a portion of the gas tax that's supposed to go for OHV? Because I know boats or side-by-sides, farm equipment, stuff like that.
No, that's not how it was set up. It was $8,400 from the 2009 session, and it was set up that there is... it's not gas tax, but Clark County funded the first half of it, the $500,000. And then there's a dollar maybe off of the registered ones that go into that fund.
Because it seems like we shouldn't have to be going for grant money. There should be some kind of fund that, like, set aside for this kind of stuff that we're talking about here, rather than having to apply for grants on some of these things.
I don't think there is. I mean,
there's a federal trail program.
Yeah.
And they take a percentage of it. They've got a formula on how much goes from the federal gas tax back into a federal trails program.
But that's not money that we could use.
Federal work or money.
You can't apply for it, but it's so many people dipping into that pot, and there's not a lot of money into it.
Debbie, I would, to be honest, grants are time-consuming for Clark County, and we really are stretched thin. I'm happy to go ask people to, like I told you, submit for the OAG grant or those kind of things with your own nonprofits, and then we can fund it that way. Because it's hard. For every $500, it's 2 hours worth of work.
Oh, no, and I was thinking not doing it through our Clark County group, but through a nonprofit. But using the funds specifically.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying for you, there's faster ways to do it.
But to your point, grants take
so long to do.
But I think the OHV grant money should come back to Clark County.
Yeah. Well,
our fair share of what we funded.
The Nevada State OHV Commission is the one who approves those grants?
Right, so you have to apply.
But I'm not saying, I'm saying we bring them down, get them to put it together, and have them do it.
That's what that fast tracker came and said, remember? Isn't that what he said? I work for you. I'm happy to call him.
So, Ken Ravigeau is on the commission.
But you see what I'm saying? Let's put it on them to do it.
He offered his assistance to help us. He did offer his assistance to help us. But also, Ken Ravigeau, hopefully I didn't destroy his name just now, but he sits on the board. Or the state, and he lives in Las Vegas. He's the only Clark County resident. He couldn't come tonight, but in the future, he's going to be attending our meetings only as a liaison, and perhaps he could be our connection too. But again, it's going to take some work if we go that route. And like Marilyn said, we'd have to do it through a nonprofit entity.
If you want to send me his info, I'll reach out to him.
And I can ask on Nevada NACO because we appoint those positions. And maybe we need to look the next time some names come up. You said you had to have at least one Clark County people. But we don't get a lot of names submitted for those applications either.
Right, because Sue Baker sat on that.
We're probably the largest portion of OHV users in Clark County, for the state anyway.
I know. But we don't get a lot of names of people that apply. And I always miss the boat on when the application process is, and I just see it on the agenda.
Kevin has an experienced grant applicant, I don't know what you'd call it, person who submits application and has been granted money for his cleanup. So
we have $38,000 for Lovendale alone, because I took the time to submit the app.
See, and that's what it is taking the time. That's really, we really can't keep pushing things off for others to do for us.
But isn't that you have to fund it first and then you get a reimbursement?
Not all of it. It depends on what it is, yeah. Doesn't it depend on what that task is or item?
Time is important, though.
Yeah.
Depending on what the ask was for. Our grant was strictly for signage and clean, mostly signage. And once it was approved, and now we're waiting on Bureau of Land Management, but that's immaterial. They funded everything. Everything has been purchased, and there's still money left over for the last quarter of the year for us to be able to attend like the OHV Summit is going to be funded by the OHV. And remember, I'm the full-size guy, and the funds that are put into that, and I'll say this on the record, the money put into it comes from the UTV registrations. Yeah, we applied for it just for Logandale because it's dual use up there.
How long did that process take from you guys, from the time you submitted to the time you got approved?
So open window, I was notified that it was open in like August, and I had documents done and everything walked through and submitted for November while I was putting on open loan.
And I attended their last board meeting virtually. Anybody, it's open to the public, just like our meetings are. And they do, have a lag time right now just because they're not manned as many people as, you know, they can. They're getting, not overwhelmed. I won't say overwhelmed because they're constantly asking for more applicants. But it's just reviewing those applicants. And Ross Williams, actually, Ross, I'm glad you're here because you got one too for the Loop Trail. That was funded by the initial work, by your application, yeah. Right?
Yeah, the feasibility report was funded by a grant from NOHV, and then the second phase by combination of NOHV and the Recreational Trails Program.
There was $750,000 on the table in July.
Mm-hmm. And I think July 15th was the deadline. We just missed it. But they do it twice a year, so we have now lead time to think about. But again, we have several partners in the OHV community nationally that are willing to fund it if we just provide input and our ideas. So that's another way of, you know, looking at it. But I think we need later to vote on if we want to add it as a tracking list, right? Item, right? Because I don't think it's on our current list. But that's what, again, I wanted to bring that up. I think it's something really important. I think videos is a great way to go because it attracts, you know, people are looking at their social media 24/7. So that's why I'm encouraging that. And anything else on that for now? The next is committee to discuss solar companies approaching the committee regarding their projects. This was another item I asked to be put on the agenda. Earlier this year, well, 2 or 3 months ago, I was approached by a solar company for a meeting to talk about a potential project that they are putting in the Laughlin, or asking to put in the Laughlin area within the boundaries of the area we are asking to be federally designated. I'm always open to listen to what people have to say, so I met with them. I met with the attorney, and they brought three representatives in. We met at the State Bar of Nevada and had a good meeting, but at first they didn't give me the maps. They only gave me the maps when I got there. That's when I realized it was in that boundary area. So I was very hesitant at that point just because I thought, we're fighting tooth and nail for every little, you know, piece of acre we can get. Why does it have to be in this? But I thought, we can still compromise. I know the way we're going to be able to move forward is to compromise in certain things. So we met with Steve Paxton, and he met with him and he can discuss what he met, you know, discuss with them. After that point, I was then contacted via phone by several other solar companies asking to meet with them, asking if they can come to our board, our meetings, and do a presentation. Then I started thinking, wait a minute. We have worked for the last 4 years to get that land. Just the small areas. We need a lot more public land. But, you know, we've been working that so hard. And now we have solar companies who are going to be our biggest fight. You know, they're the ones who really are trying to take our public lands for solar fields. So I thought, how are we going to use up all of our, we have an hour and a half, twice, you know, every other month to meet. Now we're going to be utilizing our time to do hear all these presentations. Is that fair to us? Is that fair to the people, our OHV community? I don't think that's a good use of our time, but that's my personal opinion. I'm happy to give them information, contact information of all the outdoor, or all the OHV different groups and organizations, so they can reach out personally and meet with them. That's up to them. But I'm really having a hard time now after sitting back and thinking about, that was in the area we have on paper to be a federally designated. So I just thought, you know what, I took it back. I talked to the attorney, Linda Bullion, and I said, you know what, I'm going to have to speak to the committee at our next board meeting because it's not just me that makes these decisions. I'm just one volunteer. But I have concerns about the number of solar companies. You know, we're going to be inundated, and that's what we're going to spend all our time. And personally, in my own volunteer time, to meet with all these different companies, which I think, you know, if I'm going to meet with one, does that open the door? We have to meet with everyone. How does that? I don't know how that works legally. So I'm concerned. Or do we just say, you know what, no, this is not the place. We're here to promote OHV use, how we can protect our public lands, those kind of things, not how we can negotiate with different solar companies so they can bring a project. Steve, can...
Hey, Debbie?
Yes, sir.
I think one of the issues that we need to get a handle on, if we don't already have a handle on it, is what exactly does the compatibility between solar projects and OHV look like? You know, I've got some of those issues with the Loop Trail project, because we're going across Boulder City dry lake bed, and I mean, that's one big sea of solar panels, and I've talked to a couple solar people, and they don't seem to be concerned about dust. But in the future, do we start getting areas shut down to OHV because the solar guys are saying that we're creating too much dust for their panels? Does anybody know the answer to that?
It's a different, it's for different, every project is different.
To your point, you're right, because obviously I know the people in Boulder City, and that's their deal. They don't want to offend the solar people because they get a lot of money from solar people. I would just say no.
Like, what? And Steve met with him too, so I definitely want to, you know, have Steve have a moment.
Those issues were discussed. They're not too concerned about maintaining their panels, one. Two, I'm going to focus on what you said and your concerns. Yes, they're viable concerns. Listening to you made me think of another thing. We have to decide, is it indeed important to listen to them? Yeah, because that's why we're here. Because they're going to want to be in Clark County, and then it needs to be discussed. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be a lot of them, and it is time-consuming. But I still got to listen, because I have a concern about whether they are going to impede upon things that I want to do as a citizen, as an OHV committee representative, et cetera, et cetera. Our voices are important, right along with the public, and we need to be able to put in our input and advise you folks, as well as just have a voice. So I guess what I'm saying in that point is, I think it's important to hear them out, because we may have an opinion as to whether they're, you know, we're going to approve their, you know, having them here or not.
Could I offer this?
Wait, no, let's have you done. Sorry. Yeah, Steve.
I'm sorry.
Now I'm going to get a damn door. They were the ones that reached out to Debbie. Debbie then reached out to me, and I agreed to meet with the lawyer. And who showed up? Company representatives with her. I thought it was just going to be her, but that was fine because I got more information from them anyway.
Who is she?
Linda Bullion.
What was her name?
Linda Bullion.
Yeah.
You sound like you're familiar with her. Okay.
That's why I'm waiting to speak, because I got plenty to say.
And I want to hear it, because I've been anxious for this meeting to arrive, because I listened to them, first off, open-minded to what they had in mind. Second, how does that impact Clark County? Well, they submitted a map. Wouldn't you know it, they had our race routes on it. Perfect. They had you guys' race routes on it. And they described, where will they be? I have the map here. If you haven't seen it, I hope you have. I can see where the solar arrays are going to be. Then the transmission lines over to the substation that they want to link into and supply the energy to. They say it will be overhead lines. At first, I had thought that it might be buried. Either way, with the small amount of area that impacted Moran, whom I represent, and the OHV committee, didn't seem to have too much of an impact. I said, okay, I need to talk to people first, then I can advise. But right now it looks like the group of people that I work closely with, we probably could coexist. So then I went to Moran and approached them. And they, too, had the same opinions that I did. If it's overhead lines, there's already overhead lines right there where they're going to go, and they were going to parallel them, similar to how Gene Lakebed works with the power lines going across it and across Prim, and they would run side by side. Okay, fine. We would be able to participate or run our events underneath them as we do today, as long as they stay with that. Next, and finally, and then I'll close, I'm interested to hear what you guys have, because it also impacts your areas. Well, I've already discussed and know what it will do for the areas that I'm interested in. And then I would have interest in what your input is, because then I want to be able to say yay or nay. That's where I'm at.
Thanks, right. Steve. I think.
Well, here's what I would say. Unfortunately, I don't trust them, because we met with them in the beginning and talked about our public lands and where could corridors be for them. And lo and behold, they walked out of our office within a week. They put in 400 solar applications based on our information, right? So what we know about them, and she's with Leeward Energy and all these other groups, is that they don't really care what we think, but if they know that it's interested. So what we try to do in our office is we say, when they come to meet with us, and we don't meet with them very often, which I'm assuming that's why she's reaching out to you guys, we have standards. One, what's the UWPA process? Where are you at within it? Where are you getting the water? And three, what are the standards for outdoor recreation? And so they can never answer all three of those. We don't let their applications go through. So that's where I'm at with it. And they try really hard in the Logandale, Bunkerville, Moapa area, and we don't let them get past. And so on top of that, we just try to stay in better contact with the BLM to know what applications are actually moving forward on the list. But we have just found that those groups are fishing for information, and they're using it against us. Okay. So that's the truth of where District B is.
And I had provided them with, I had asked them actually before your meeting, I said, because the maps they came brought to me just were very vague, and I just saw that it was, you know, one of our areas, and I said, well, if you really want these different organizations to know and talk to you in an educated way, to be educated about it, they need to know, they need to see their current or past racecourse maps on where you want this facility, so they can see the direct impact. Showing somebody just this general, generic map, I don't think flies well. So that's where they brought in those maps.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's really not about their project, it's the project as a whole, because, like she said, there are so many solar projects that are trying to get in, and if we, because I'm thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can straighten me out, but if we open the door for one to come here and do a presentation, say it's 15 minutes, but then we get approached by 100 other solar, because we will, I can tell you that, we will. Do we have to then? Have we opened the door to have to give them all the opportunity?
Well, I just would say, Debbie, you don't ever.
Know. Well, I just want to know legally.
But,
if we.
But, I don't, well, okay.
No, I just want to know, you know what I'm saying, legally, do I.
I think Marilyn probably knows better than
me.
But
I just
think you're right.
I can definitely research that for you and give you an
answer.
I just, but
I don't want to open the door.
I think you guys control your agenda and who gets on the agenda and stuff like that.
Well, I think it's important to know about these applications. So you need to be careful that we don't act like we're just hiding our head in the sand.
No.
But the problem that I've had when I talked to Linda, I've helped her see that there needs to be order in what we're doing. The entire negotiation that led up to the public lands bill was something that protected various interests. So I would, honestly, I don't think I could see myself calling you and say, you know, let them just do whatever they're proposing. I don't see myself saying that. What I see myself saying is, we have worked really hard to protect certain opportunities for recreation. And if we're not careful, quite honestly, I think that we would be compromising everything we've done up to this point on outdoor recreation. So I think it's important to know what's out there. It's important to know where they're coming from. But we follow the lead that Marilyn has suggested, and I don't encourage people to do anything that is going to otherwise affect, impair, work over the top of, or be present over the top of anything that is recreation, outdoor recreation that we've already compromised on.
Well, you'll be better off and better served, Debbie, to get, because here's what they're doing. They're speculators, right? And they are trying to figure out, what can I get done so I can go tell the BLM everybody's on board so I can get moved up on my priority list? You would be better off quarterly to get an updated priority list from the BLM, and then we can call them in as we
you
want
need to push it
so
up
we
to
know
us.
Where they're going. And so that way we hold the cards.
Well, they, the funny thing is they said they went to the county, to Marcy's department, and they pushed it to me. And that's what Senator Cortez Masto's office is pushing it to me. And I'm going,
because we've done a good job of saying no, the OHV.
So, which I'm not saying I wouldn't be willing to see what they're, but I just don't want to use our public meeting time to vet these different, that's what I consider, it's our public meeting time.
Yeah. But if they're not on a but if they're not within the first five priorities,
yeah.
Who cares?
It's going to happen anyway.
Right. Well, just like give you an example, this area that they're proposing right now is a big OHV recreation, not only for freaking quads, side-by-sides, and others, but it's a big Jeep deal. You go down on a weekend, you'll see 20 Jeeps come out of that area. You know?
And that's what I tried to tell them. I said, in my meeting with them, I said, you know, just the race courses, that's who, I know those organizations, but also we have so many, we're about recreationalists as well. And those aren't, you know, those aren't, I can't give you all the thousands of trails are there, and so I just don't, we have to think about everybody as a whole, and I'm thinking, I just can't see us using up our meeting time to be the vetting place for all these different companies.
Just
not,
keep in mind that every other interest out there is represented. And so to the extent that they claim that we can coexist, maybe we can, maybe we can't. But the last thing we want to do is invite people to come and share what we fought so darn hard for. So right now, I would say, you know, no.
And that's how I felt after that, after meeting with them. And again, I know you guys know I'm one of compromise. I'm, you know, always saying we need to. But when I sat there leaving that meeting, I felt that way. I thought, Debbie, what are you doing? This, we spent hours the last 4 years, literally, working on this. And why would we even entertain something with, you know, to even, so that's my biggest concern is this, I don't want our.
Well, I look at it like this, those guys are pretty good salesmen, right? Like fish oil or snake oil salesmen. But anyways, correct me if I'm wrong, but with these solar panels, they're to supply power to California, and we essentially get no money for it or benefit. If we can have OHV out there, we get economic benefit for that in the county. So why would we ever want, and then why don't they put them in California? Why can't you put them in California? California's a big place. Just because they don't want them there, they're like, ah, stick it in Nevada. We can trick them.
The regulatory stuff down there is
easier in Nevada.
So it's like, so we're the.
Because I asked them this.
I imagine over time we're going to be no different. I mean, if you just kind of look at the trend, it's probably not going to be any different.
But even from an environmental standpoint, they're an eyesore. Look at Boulder City now. Like, oh.
I asked in God all of El Dorado Valley in my district just so I can keep track of what is happening out there. And, you know, we'll see. But there are a lot of issues. There are a lot of issues. I just think that we fought so hard for this, you know, for the recreation, outdoor recreation areas that we got designated that it doesn't make any sense to fight like that and argue with people and get a compromise and then buckle. So I hope that we just, you know, are pretty strict about what we think.
Listen, at the end of the day, by the time it gets to the county and it gets approved, or the neighborhood meeting, that's when the negotiations start for OHVs. There's no reason to put our cards out there. And I know this is all public meeting, so I don't care. So,
no, I think it's we said it.
But I don't know why we put our cards out there. Because all they're going to do is go and try and go around it or include it or go, and everybody is kicking the can to us because we just said it's a standard, right? A standard. As much as you worry about the environmental pieces, you have to worry about the trails that have been established.
And I, you know, and this is not a comment on anybody in particular. I mean, I like Linda. I think she's a credible person. I've worked around her for many years. That's not what this is about. This is about how hard we fought to get what we have.
That's why I wanted to hear everybody.
Yeah. No, it's and that's how I felt, because it's not me.
I told them that. Yeah. Well, I have a lot of people I want to talk to. So.
Kenny.
So look, I'm just looking at the map there because I haven't looked at it before. It does go, the Mojave Trail cuts right to the middle of that. And that area is one of the most prime bird hunting areas in the state of Nevada, and they will not let you do a special recreation permit for about 4 months because of the bird heading down there, and that's right on top of where it's at. So I'm pretty sure they haven't got with the Nevada Department of Wildlife either on that.
That's good. Exactly. So they're just, yeah, so there is. So to my point then, really, like you guys said, we should possibly get the list, the priority list from the BLM, and then Steve, we'll get it, and then those people will, if they're in area, then maybe those we can entertain, but other than that, we'll just be using up all of our time and resources and...
Where the power plant was down there in Lockland, where they tore it down, build it there. Perfect.
Well, that would be too simple.
Come on, Kenny. That land's probably not as cheap, and it's not as great a deal for them.
Yeah.
So that was my concern. That's why I wanted to have it on today's agenda, because I was very troubled about it, it's not any person. It's just in general the idea that, because then I got several calls from all different projects. I'm thinking, oh my God, we're gonna sit here and have to.
That's because they meet every Monday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Who's gullible?
Yeah.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't a proposed Amakau Wilderness Area supposed to be like all that, all the way to Gene?
That's Lapa, but this is that's not that area. That's not part of it.
That's probably north of there.
Yeah. But maybe it is, and that's even better. But no, because actually it's not, because they weren't affecting our... When we looked at the race course maps and their proposal, it wasn't. So that's why I just wanted to bring it to the attention. And like I said, it's not my decision at all, so I wanted to get everybody's viewpoint. But I really felt strongly after thinking about God dang it, that's area, really? Can't you go outside? Something we've been fighting for? So thank you very much for everybody's comments. All right, next business items. OHV committee to review and approve 2023 meeting calendar, dates for possible action. And I think the wonderful Amelia has provided those. Right? The next one is what, September 27th?
That would be the last meeting.
Because November and we would never, yeah. So September 27th, I mean, I know it's a waste.
That one, because that one is already approved for this year.
Yeah, for 2023. Well, is the last Wednesday of the month working out? I mean, it's hard to tell what the future's going to be or what our calendars are going to look like next year, but if we tentatively set them for the last Wednesday of every other month next year, is that working for everybody?
Yeah.
Do we need a motion? Can I get a motion to?
I make a motion to approve the next year's meeting.
For the last Wednesday of every month.
Correct.
From 4 to 5:30. Can I get a second? Thank you. All those in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Next, reprioritize issue tracking list. Identify issues to add, delete, provide updates, and select issue tracking managers. And I noticed, Kenny Thatcher, you're at table 19 and 20. I have a note. Is that what that is? Nellis Dunes, NDOT Trail, Boulder City easement. Let's see. First, let me get to it. I'm not sure why I have the note.
Freeman.
Oh, Kenny Freeman.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Kenny, I'm sorry. I saw Kenny.
You got half of it.
Right? I got a Kenny. Can I know so, you had mentioned it.
I did some writing out there in Nelson over the last couple of weeks, and there was an issue when I was on the Desert Conservation Program Advisory Committee. We had an issue with a trail out there that back in 2001, that when they put up the tortoise fence along the highway there, the Nelson Highway down there, it cut through about three of the tracks that we use constantly out there. So it was brought to the Desert Conservation Program, and I'm looking at it that it never got resolved. This was back from 2001. It was under tracking program. It was number 67. But for 3 years we worked on that, and it's still not done. I just wonder if we could get some, if we could do something with that. And back when the conservation area, the Boulder City Conservation Area was designated, our club was actually volunteered to kiosk the trails out there. As this time right now, there's probably 30% of the trails that were back when this thing opened are not, no longer there. They, instead of, they used to say designated route, now they say this road's closed. I'm trying to find out who makes that decision.
And this is on BLM or
US? No, this is the Boulder City Conservation Area.
Maybe it'll change with the new mayor.
But do they have, but to your point, do they have control over that, or is it?
No, it's not the Boulder City. This right. is all done by the conservation program. They're the ones that are changing it.
So did you reach out to them?
I have not reached out to them, but I was trying to go, if anybody had, you know, I could talk to Marcy, but it's just, before I did, about 4 years ago, she said there was repetitive trails, which some of them were and some of them weren't. It's just that, you know, there's only so much area out there. It has a history of trails that were used even before it became the conservation area. And then when it did become the conservation area, they were kiosks, they were marked. And now it seems like that more and more are being eliminated.
Is this the Ivanpah Trails or?
It's the, well, no, it's
being Nelson.
Nelson Hills.
Nelson Hills, oh, okay.
Item number 11.
Okay, that's what I needed. The item. I had the wrong item number.
Debbie, did you tell them that I'm going to do that bill on the trails?
No, I was going to let you. We didn't get that far in the.
Then we can put it on the tracking list because we're actually going to work on the language. So I discovered what the problem is with all of these OHV half trails, not trails, or all of this is. So within the state statute, it says that you can't have any trail over 1.99 miles. So I've worked across the state and NACO, which is the Nevada Association of Counties, is going to actually sponsor the bill in the legislature to take out the cap and to allow counties to enable trail systems that can be used by the public for anywhere, right? So so Nevada NACO and National NACO is actually going to get involved and help get this bill passed. So I want to put it on the tracking list because it'll be important that you all show up at the hearings virtually, write letters, let their inboxes, but it just will help us manage and make a better trail system. And so a portion of the, and this is the north and the south, but this will include as giving the money from the OHV Commission to put up the proper signage as each county establishes it. So going big or going home. It took me 2 years to figure out what the problem was.
Let me go back on Kenny. We're still on, but Kenny's is a different item. Hang on 1 second.
Oh, no, okay.
So do you have any familiarity with the conservation?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
It was part of the, what do they call it, the Multiple Species Act. There used to be
The MCEP.
Yeah, there used to be an advisory board that I sat on. And at that time, it was disbanded later, but we were working on trying to get this trail that had, it was actually on part of the NDOT right-of-way on Nelson Hills Road. And when they put the fencing up, it kind of blocked it off. So we were trying to work to connect, because the trail went around, you know, it connected to another trail. Well, there was actually no way to get there, and it hasn't been in the 20 years that it was worked on, nothing ever happened.
Well, here's what I'll do. If you give me the specifics, yeah. And if you can and copy Amelia on it because I just need a hard copy, but I'll look, but I'm assuming because the MCHP plan hasn't been worked on for a long time that it probably put by the wayside and it was a requirement. And that was actually one of the things in the public lands bill that we were asking for the counties to have control over instead of the BLM, because then the BLM doesn't, they give away our stuff, right? So, but if you send it to Amelia, I'll work with Kimberly to
a map and
see if I can help figure it out.
Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. All right, so to add item, so it would be a state legislation. Your bill, does the bill have a title?
It won't yet.
Okay.
But it'll be, well, as long as everybody's good with it, but it would be submitted September 1st is the deadline that would have to be submitted. So as long as everybody's good with it, they're willing to do it.
No, I think it'd be a good idea to put it out into our task, absolutely.
Why would anybody oppose that, you think?
I could see Inga opposing it. I could see some public works.
Well, I think he means here.
Opposing it, right?
Yeah.
But I was trying to go 3 miles just because it made more sense. And legislators, county managers, everybody said, well, let's just go with nothing. That's even better. Okay.
That's
better to be reasonable.
Where does BLM's input come from?
They won't have any input because it'll be within our right-of-ways, our lands, so to speak. So the BLM, I will tell you, will likely, we talked to the state BLM, will likely want to be included in it because they'll be the ones cut out this time instead of us being cut out. They have the land.
Well,
so it's a reverse psychology.
That's what we need, more local control over everything, because you get these outside groups that come from other places and they don't even live here.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So can we need a motion?
So it can be item number 24.
Yes.
It's a high priority and you have
yes.
to have an issue manager attached.
Would anybody like to volunteer, Mike Fry, to be an issue manager?
I would have.
With Kenny Thatcher? Well, she's the county commissioner.
I think the issue manager has to be a committee member.
Yeah, committee member.
Oh, Amelia.
And Kenny said we will have Cole. We'll have Kenny Thatcher and Mike Fry.
Listen, the day the bill gets a hearing, I want us all to.
It kind of falls under one of my.
What? It was hundreds of people.
It kind of falls under one of my issues anyway with trails and tracking, because we talked about the trail system in the county anyway.
All right.
So, to your point about not knowing the process, so I mean, I'm assuming it's public meeting up in Carson.
Yeah, so what'll happen is we vote on Friday, the associations of counties or 17 counties, we vote, and I'm on the legislative committee, so they needed some ideas, so I gave them some. So they vote on Friday, then they'll submit it to the LCB as a bill draft. So I always try to have a nice, peaceful bill draft so that I get stuff passed. So what it would do is get February 1st, it'll either be a hearing, it'll get a number assigned to it, a Senate bill first or an Assembly bill. We're asking for an Assembly bill because then I have a better chance of moving it out. Then it would get a hearing on both sides. So we think, talking to a bunch of legislators, like 30, they think it's innocuous, but that's why it seems it's a couple of agencies that are going to be the problem. And so I'm going to try and work in that.
So then
they
we need
fix Rancho Road for me, so the more I complain, the better it gets.
All right. So do anything else on that? Okay. So let's add it to our tracking list.
Yep. And then if you want, if you're doing anything else, I think there was some discussion of possibly tabling 19 and 20.
Okay. That's where I saw the table. All right. Then I think it'll belong to Kenny too, right?
Yeah.
Because it's about the lands bill. Primary 19 is about designation of PRIM as an OHV recreation area and federal lands bill.
Yeah.
And 20 is combined with that, with 19 about the Ivan Pond trails. So can we table that for now until we learn more what the future holds?
Well, especially if you're talking about this trail deal, that kind of falls under 20 as well anyway.
Yeah, the distance of it. All right, so those two are tabled. Number 4, Kenny Thatcher, do you have anything to report on yours, identification and prioritization?
So, I've already submitted the maps on it, and I haven't come up with much new maps or anything like that, that the BLM, and the maps that I submitted were only going back to 2010, and everything that I submitted, and I think there's copies of it, I again at one of the meetings that we had over at Marcy's office, there was, everything that was that I turned in was permitted by the BLM since 2010. So, and I know there's some other areas that Mike was looking at that we still got to go explore, some of those areas that we were looking at that didn't have a designation yet.
Were they submitted to the county or the BLM?
I submitted
here,
to the county.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, thanks.
Well, can we do this? Maybe we can ask the state director, John Raffey, to kind of facilitate this faster through the process, like as under the RSS roads, so that we can show they've been used. Maybe state BLM and Clark County at the same time, because I'm not sure we've had time to do much anything with it.
Okay.
But if they're BLM roads, BLM was here, and they said, and so did Fish and Wildlife say, if you know where they are, we'll definitely designate them, and so maybe get some signage up. And what I would say is, if the cost of signage is an issue, then that's where we can focus our grant dollars, or we can at least put recreation. Because what I did find out is, each sign is like $800.
I might be able to get some of that donated.
It's ridiculous.
I know a guy.
So, I'm just saying, we could go to them and find out what the issue is and say, let's just do 10 a month so that we could start having them there, because that'll actually help our legislation and federal legislation so that it gets done.
I mean, is there anything as far as legal-wise getting stuff donated like that? Like signage?
Not as long as it meets the criteria. I do it all the time when I'm looking for desert tortoise fencing. They just have to meet the federal criteria.
Okay.
What does that mean?
They have a specific... Here's the thing.
Whatever
is,
they
try to put a flag on it because less people shoot them up, for one. They try to make them brown so that it's...
Gotcha. Okay.
So
meet the signage criteria, not the contract. Okay, I got you.
And the language.
Yeah. All right.
There's a whole handbook if you want, and I can send it to you for signage, so you guys can have it.
Yeah, if you would, or Finis Akini.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And I'll talk to Pat and see, because he's offered in the past to help us with whatever we need on that kind of stuff.
I know. So if you send it to Amelia, schedule and get with Gina and schedule a date with John Raffey, so we can tell, give him. We'll give them 30 and say we want to do 10 a month for the next 4 months.
Does anybody have anything on that they want to talk about on the task list, issue managers? I have something, but... Ross, while you're... Do you have anything on their loop trail? Are you there?
Yeah, I'll give you the abbreviated version.
Okay.
We submitted our EA to the BLM. So that's kind of a milestone. That, according to the consultant, happened 2 weeks ago. And so a new part of the process begins.
And do you have a, I'm sure they didn't give you any kind of timeline. It's the BLM.
Yeah, I've got to get with the BLM and see exactly what the process is from here on out.
Okay.
But what the EA covers is the BLM portion, the National Parks portion, and the reclamation portion. So, given that we've already got the Forest Service part that's already been designated, with this, we will be over 80% of the total loop mileage once that's designated.
Awesome. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Number 22, it's the public lands cleanups, public educational forums, and signage. Vegas Valley four-wheelers, I noticed you mentioned possibly November 5th as a cleanup. All right, that is your cleanup, but the possible area is Apex.
It was either going to be Apex or Bjork or
Logandale. Well, I would love to, because I the BLM is really looking for help at the Apex area or Nelson Dunes area, any of that side of town, to do a cleanup. And November was kind of a perfect time because it's going to be cooler. So I would, you know, we, I think
so
we
can. Can I offer this though? That is Aviation Nation weekend, and it is 75th year of
Dang
the
it.
Airport. So that is going to be a minimum of 300,000 people within that corridor. I'm not sure that you know.
Tread lightly, pick the date. Not me, because they're attempting to tie it to Apex and SEMA when most people are here.
I wonder if they realize that it's Aviation Week. Oh.
They grabbed the date, but that's great. So
you might be better to go south and do something like in Nelson Hills, or
we go north and go to Lowndale.
Yeah, but that traffic is going to be bad.
You're still
going
to have all that traffic trying to get people out there, so
we need to go south. You're right.
Well, if you let me know what area you pick, and I'd like to adopt your cleanup as our next cleanup, since that is a bad idea. No, that's a bad idea for you. But whatever area you pick is going to be something that we need to concentrate on. So we just have to get through the summer. So I think that's what I was hoping to do. So if you'd let us know, and then our next meeting we can. Thank you. And then the last one I have is, I don't even see it on here, but I know it's under the lands bill, which Commissioner Gibson already gave us the current status. I reached out, I actually spoke to Zach Jorgensen at Senator Cortez Masto's office about it. I asked him about, you know, I would like to know the language, if anything's changed in our ROHV areas, and he said not to his knowledge. I go, but did anything change that would affect other OHV areas? And he kind of hem and hawed and just said that she had pulled the bill because they're not getting the support of the county. So then I said, well, how can we, or would the senator be interested in supporting a bill that would strictly just talk about our OHV area? The language is already in the bill. Nothing else, just the OHV areas that we've already gone through the language. It's been vetted so many times with different, you know, organizations, environmentalists, everybody's kind of at a, he kind of hemmed and hawed, said, well, I don't know, it's kind of a sore subject with us right now. I go, well, I don't really, that's too bad. I it's not the county, this is your OHV constituents. I go, there are hundreds of thousands of people across our state. I go, this is important to them. So I really think you guys need to get over yourselves. Probably wasn't. But he laughed. It was all good. I mean, Zach is easy. I have an easy working relationship with him. But he said they're right now tabling everything. And now I learned they're still, you know, going to be discussing with the county. So I reached out to Congressman Horsford's office today. I spoke to Larry Hamm, who's my veteran liaison. And he went to the Lands Committee. And they in turn reached out to Zach because they're all trying to be on the same page. But again, I told him, you know, this is not about that. Let's put that to the side. I just want OHV. That's all we're interested in right now. And that's what you have a huge community that you don't realize, and it's the fastest growing revenue in the country. So I think it's time to pay attention. So they're actually, he went back to them. They're supposed to get back to me tomorrow. So I'm just thinking if there's some interest out there somewhere, whether one of our Nevada representatives, Amadou, if maybe somebody would be willing to support a strictly just an OHV bill. Nothing, you know, I know when it gets to committee, a lot of times things get thrown in and that's out of our control. But I'd hate for, you know, just something, the hard work that we've put into it, even though it's not perfect, it doesn't have every area. Maybe we can add some areas because they did not include everything that they said they were going to include in their lands bill, the other areas we've asked for. But I just thought it was worth the conversation. So that's where we're at as far as
the OHV
part.
So we submitted a request for 121,856 acres to be designated for OHV recreation areas. And the current, what they came back with, based on what we've seen last week, is 120,708 acres.
So they cut something out.
Yeah. And I think it's Nelson Hills, if I remember correctly. But like I said, we're trying to find it real fast. I gotta go get my granddaughter. Sorry, 5 minutes.
No, we're done here in 9 minutes.
I think that if you do that, you should at least start with the bigger amount.
Yeah.
And you can negotiate back.
No, that's why I think we should include the areas that we'd actually vetted to that Mike put together.
You bring up an idea, like the lands bill. Is it too big? Should it be chopped up into pieces to make it easier to understand? I know you've done so much work.
Well, here's the thing. They don't like to do lands bills, period.
Yeah, they don't.
Right? And it takes about 10 years to get a lands bill done, so they try to throw the kitchen sink into everything so that more people have negotiating power, and I don't like that. One reason why we kind of held it, because we can't get it at noon on Wednesday and then say, oh, we need to know D.C. close of business. Really? You know what I mean? So, and you should be lucky we got anything, right? There is another markup, though, coming in September. I think that you guys could approach Amity.
But I'm wondering, so she has another bill, the Veterans Recreational Act, which actually got passed, but it did not have designate certain, the actual area.
Is it on the House side?
It got passed, yeah.
So
I'm wondering if we could put that stuff into her, because it was about outdoor recreation, including motorized recreation. So I'm wondering if we could throw our pieces into that bill, because it's you know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't, even though it's directed for veterans and military, it's for the public use. Once you've been designated.
Tell you, Catherine's going to be home most of August, so it's a good time to talk to her directly.
So how many acres did they end up pulling out of the bill? 40,000?
No, six, seven.
Four to 6,000.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
Okay, so probably Nelson Hills.
Yeah. So we're still looking at about 100,000 acres.
It's 120,000.
But there was something with Nelson Hills. Some of it was boundary line adjustments. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we just barely got this side by side done.
Yeah.
But there was a Nelson Hills piece that something changed about it. And I can't remember what it is at the top of my head. But I'll find it.
All right. Well, so I was just going to look, you know, different avenues. But I didn't think about the veteran. You know, maybe that's an avenue to see if we could just. So that's where
Marilyn was just mentioning perhaps approach them about amending it. I think you heard her say that. That would be an angle.
Well, I did. And they told me it's poor, something they don't want to talk about. But they're having it.
For a whole month. And yeah, last week there was a lot of high emotions running. And as I said to the senator this week, we can all have our personal opinions, but we still got to get some stuff done at the end of the day for the entire West. Truth be told, and so everybody's feeling better today, right? It was a little
the new week.
Last week.
Well, this was yesterday, but they were still pissed.
Well, they are, but they're not even told that they got to be.
No, and that's why I kind of said, you know, we need to, you know.
Yeah, we all got to work together.
Oh my gosh.
It needs to be fair, too, because Clark County's about 7 million acres that are, you know, between DOD, wildlife, Forest Service, county, you know, we're getting basically less than 0.02% for a road fee, so it's not really a good compromise.
Well, to be honest, it's disappointing if they said it yesterday, because I had a long conversation with the senator over the weekend.
Well, this was her staff, so.
I get it.
They may have not talked.
Was told that, because they created more havoc, and the truth is, I said to the senator, and I'll say it to you all, there's a lot of people really pissed off right now, because whether you're a builder, whether you're affordable housing person, whether you're a water person, whether you're an environmentalist, whether you're OHV, this blew up with no conversation. And so for both sides to say we purposely did not comment in the paper, because we were pretty hot ourselves, right? But, you know, they got to pick their battles.
But it's a new, like you said, it's a new, sounds like you guys may have a new
conversation. The commission told her this morning that maybe we need to take our friends and staff off of the bill and find new friends to help us. So, I'm sorry, I have to go.
No, you're fine. That was all I had. I just wanted to. I'm going to continue seeing how we can try to. Thank you, Commissioner Kirkpatrick.
Maryland.
Anybody else? Anything else on our tracking list?
Right.
No.
Oh, there was one that Kenny had for a meeting that got canceled with the writing the BLM.
Which one?
Number 15.
Yeah. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
I was going to have the BLM come, but it got canceled. I'm now trying to get them. It was on the meeting agenda,
for the meeting that got canceled.
Oh, okay.
And I can set it up again. It just takes those guys to adjust their schedules quite, it takes a while to make it work.
Well, if, yeah, maybe if the September meeting they can.
That's what I'm going to try.
Okay, perfect. Gotcha. Just to let Amelia know.
That's a quick question, because you may think about it, and so Commissioner Patrick, you guys might know. So you said they could put, like, you know, fencing across some of the trails. Did they put turtle fencing? I thought I heard somewhere that they were wanted to remove the turtle fencing because it didn't work out the way they wanted.
Like some of it, I heard that too.
Yeah, they're hindering the turtle migration. So it was like, that was a bad idea.
That, and they're flipping over.
And some of the cattle crossing line.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you heard anything like
that? What they were going to start doing was putting like a drainage ditch, make it so that they can migrate to other areas. But they do want to keep that up on the highways because it really reduced the amount of tortoises getting run over on the highways. But it's kind of like the bridge that goes to nowhere going in Arizona.
We got one here too.
So they're trying to do something like that, but make it more manageable underneath.
So if you go out to El Dorado Valley, there, like where all the old battery factory is and where, what is it, Goodfellas Corporation, where they build those, they actually have cattle guards that freaking with tunnels underneath them for the tortoise.
So they can commit pass there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is that the end of your question? Anything else? All right, well then the next that would leave us to we have to vote. So we're adding one item. Can we do it all? Yeah, one collective. Actually it's just adding number 24 to our tracking list and tabling 9 and 10?
19 and 20.
19 and 20, thank you. Tabling 19 and 20. That was it, right?
Make a motion to table 19 and 20.
And add?
Second. And add 24.
I'll second it.
All those in favor? Anyone opposed? Motion is carried. All right. Now that's it, right? Are you good, Amelia? All right, perfect. The last portion, again, is open to comments by the general public. So if anybody has anything to say. No? All right, thank you. Again, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys coming out, especially you. You come out every single time, and welcome to you. We hope to see you at all future meetings. And if there's anything, please reach out to any one of us. We're happy to, you know, talk and work on future projects. I'd love to hear about more about your education that you guys do. So thank you so much. Thank you for attending with us. I was going to thank Amelia, but she's already running. And that adjourns our meeting. Thank you so much.
Yeah.